When David Letterman read his first top 10 list in 1985, nobody thought the idea would become an institution on the show. But since then, Letterman has read more than 500 of these lists. The idea of the top 10 list belongs to Steve O'Donnell. O'Donnell is head writer for the David Letterman show. There's a new book of late night's top 10 lists, and here's Steve O'Donnell to read one of them.
Top 10 things overheard on our first show. Number 10, I think he used to play Chip on My Three Sons. Number 9, it would be a shame if that bandleader ever lost his magnificent head of hair. Number 8, my name is Dave, and I'm here to sing, sing, sing. 7, oh no, not Kmar the Magician. Number 6, you can't come in here, Mr. Snyder, your show was canceled. Number 5, when is he going to take out those gag teeth? Number 4, can you use the restroom upstairs? We're doing a show in here. Number 3, I can't believe Lord Melman would stoop to doing American television. Number 2, I sat through the show, now where's my tote bag? And the number 1 thing overheard on our very first Letterman show, he's no Dinah.
Were you there for the very first Letterman show?
I joined the staff a couple of weeks in, but I did see the very first show. Bill Murray was a guest. It was a great show.
One of your ideas was the top 10 list. How did you come up with it?
Well, just barely an idea. I mean, it seemed like top 10 lists had been around for generations. They were just the kind of things like Mr. Blackwell puts out his top 10 worst dressed and top 10 best dressed. Cosmopolitan often has the, 10 most eligible bachelors, and you'll see in other magazines 10 best summertime desserts and that kind of thing. So I thought, well, these people are just barely qualified to put out these lists. Certainly our credentials are just as tenuous as that, so I figured we could do our own top 10 lists, and so we did. I thought it would last a couple of weeks, and then we'd retire it the way we retire most of our running gags after, everyone's sick of them after a month or so. But for some reason, they persevered. We stuck to them. And they've operated maybe, in a way, in lieu of a monologue for Dave. He doesn't really do jokes, a sort of stand-up comedy routine when he comes out at the beginning of a show the way Johnny Carson does on The Tonight Show. So he generally makes a few muttering comments and sits down. I guess the top 10 list has kind of supplanted that as a little grace before supper to get the show rolling.
What was the first top 10 list you wrote?
Well, the very first list we did was top 10 words that almost rhyme with peas. Kind of an odd, quaint, and archaic-sounding topic now, but it was just supposed to be an exercise in pointlessness like most of the show was. I mean, I have the list right in front of me. Those 10 words were heats, rice, moss, ties, needs, lens, ice, nurse, leaks, and the number one word that almost rhymes with peas was meats. So you see, there's technically not any jokes in there at all. It was kind of devoid of jokes. But it was stupid, that's for sure. But we went on, and they got more elaborate as we went on. And we also started tying them in with the day's events and with topical current activities. And that seemed to be the way they functioned best. And now 9 out of 10 of them do have to do with something in the news that day.
It almost seems surprising that something quite as pointless as that first one would have gone on to last so long.
Oh, I don't know. Think of all the pointless activities that have gone on and on and on and on.
So how soon to deadline are these 10 best lists written?
Boy, they couldn't be sooner to deadline. We actually get them together in about an hour before the show begins. I've literally been typing them into the electronic, Chiron machine that makes it print out on the TV screen as Dave enters to do his, monologue jokes at the beginning of the program. So they're really up till the last minute. We get together, we pick a topic, usually, from newspaper headlines or something, and then work on it like an hour. I go into Dave's office. We go over that. He sometimes kicks in a couple, and then we put it on the screen with just moments to go.
Is Letterman ever especially surprised by the 10 best lists? I mean, are they ever written so late that he doesn't get a chance to carefully read them before he does them on the air?
No, I think he's seen every. We're sometimes harried. I mean, again, I'm sometimes changing around items with him backstage while he's being introduced. That kind of scene, but. Surprised? No, I don't think so. He sometimes laughs very hard at some of the items just because he's hearing them. And many of them that we laugh the hardest at, we know we'll never really put on the air. So we'll let those slide. We had done just quickly after the there had been an airline accident, and we had come up with top 10 pilot excuses for this disaster. And then just about 5 minutes before taping began, we both had second thoughts about it, and I said, we better not do this one. So I wrote a list in under 60 seconds, but it was very simple. It was top 10 numbers between 1 and 10.
You're the head writer for The David Letterman Show. What is the job of the head writer?
Boy, a very good question. I ran into a high school friend of mine recently who had heard I was a head waiter.
Really?
Well, I guess just the similarity. And no, plus Dave does sometimes fold $20 bills into my palm, so it's similar to that in that respect. I guess I'm like a squad leader. Right now we've got like 8 writers, and we all work together all day long. Dave, you know, coming in and out of my office and their offices. But basically I sort of lead and organize and motivate and then kind of run the stuff past Dave Letterman and then talk to whatever, you know, production people we need to talk to, the people who get the props or get the costumes or, you know, if I need to get a big jar of red ants, I let them know and they go get us a big jar of red ants. It's that kind of thing. I guess just like a coach or, I guess like a non-commissioned officer, a sergeant. Well, you get the idea.
Do you have to show all the scripts to Standards and Practices before they're broadcast?
Theoretically, but, you know, we don't really have scripts. That's what's sort of hard. You know, it's not like, you know, there's something that says Dave says this, Paul says that, then this happens. And some things we have scripts for, you know, like we answer our viewer mail on Fridays, and sometimes we build elaborate, silly props. And those are often in script form just because you need more than a few minutes to, you know, get something like that together for airtime. They haven't had really too much trouble with us, though. I mean, we're not, except for, you know, again, the occasional brand name headache. And besides our sophomoric experimentation with Dave saying, bite me on the air and that kind of thing, we're not really out to, you know, stretch the envelope of profanity or suggestive situations. I think other programs have carried that banner nobly, and we really are interested in other stuff.
GE is now the parent company of NBC, and there are often cracks about GE that are made on The Letterman Show. Are there any guidelines that you're supposed to follow about what ways you're allowed to to discuss or mock GE?
It may just be that we're on a remote floor in the building and are on at a late hour, but no, we've never heard anything along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
I know it would be, satisfy an anti-corporate impulse to think, yes, they tell us exactly what, but they really don't. And while maybe it seems the ribbing Dave gives to General Electric is not very serious, nevertheless, I think sometimes he's fairly sincere about their bottom line mentality and the fact that, well, they do, at least in dealing with what was a fairly healthy, creative, energetic broadcasting operation, I think they did take a somewhat pinheaded approach in you know, demoralizing what was a winning team to begin with. But they've never, for what it's worth, they've never given us any problem really whatsoever.
How about the other NBC people who you sometimes take shots at? I mean, even in the top 10 list, you have Tom Brokaw's top 10 turn-ons.
Well, but he's a good sport, and he's frequently on the program, and he's even gone so far to jeopardize his credibility by, you know, just doing some fairly silly things for us. I mean, he's videotaped little pieces so that when Dave throws a pencil through the window behind him, we'll see Tom Brokaw pick it up and put it in his pocket, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be a good sport about it. There have been, I mean, I know that there are other people in NBC who maybe aren't crazy about us. There was the, I think, over-publicized so-called feud between Dave and Bryant Gumbel, springing from the incident in which Dave, at the invitation of the Today Show producer, interrupted the Today Show's primetime special by yelling out a window with a bullhorn while an interview was taking place with the cast of Miami Vice. And I think Bryant Gumbel was a little annoyed at that. And so for a year or two, there were some hard feelings. But he and Dave made up on the air in what I thought should have been a moment in broadcasting history, but I'm not sure if it was, maybe we were the only ones who cared. But anyway, that seems to have been largely patched up.
Why don't we close with another top 10 list? Maybe you can read for us the one about why TV is better than books.
Sure, be happy to. Nothing would give me greater pleasure for all those Fresh Air top 10 fans. This is Top 10 Reasons Why TV Is Better Than Books. Number 10, book readers miss out on KTEL record offers. Number 9, can't drive and read at the same time. Number 8, no one ever got a paper cut from Hugh Downs. Number 7, books ask difficult questions, but don't give away cars or Caribbean cruises for right answers. Number 6, books written by pasty-skinned geeks, TV full of chesty babes. Number 5, Soul Train. Number 4, learning to work TV set, solid training for future astronauts. Number 3, TV, easier to spell than book. Number 2, no fun to dance in your underwear in front of book about Jane Pauley. And the number 1 reason why TV is better than books, Ralph Waldo Emerson, The Equalizer. Enough said.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Steve O'Donnell collaborated on the Late Night with David Letterman book of Top 10 lists.